Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thank you for joining me. On this show, we are talking about patience and resilience, the concept of bloom where you're planted. Are you ever exactly where you want to be in your life? It's okay to be pointed toward the horizon, but keeping your focus, hopes, and dreams there means you can't prosper where you are. Today, we are here. Why wait another moment to bloom? It may not be the perfect time, but today has been given to you, and each one should be preciously handled. There is opportunity all around you, here and there. Ready to dig deep and reach for the sun? So, I'm a little late to the party, but I just heard bloom where you're planted. In fact, last week, boom, it hit me. Just at the right time, I might add. Isn't it awesome when that happens? Sometimes it takes hearing something over and over and over before it takes root, and other times it's a revelation. I was in the right place at just the right time for this idea to sprout and affect so many other aspects of my thinking. It was during a support group meeting where one member was feeling down because there was a delay in a pretty important timeline. She had done all the necessary preparations, both physically and mentally, to make a significant move in her life. And for reasons out of her control, there was an unforeseeable delay. Crushing. Can't you just feel the anxiety and disappointment? Have you been there? You've done all the work, made the plan, hit your milestones, but yet you can't get to where you're going. Timing is everything, which is usually a comforting statement, unless you're devastated by your own expectations. All in God's time, we'll be praying for you. Still comforting, but doesn't feel productive. Then someone said, take this opportunity to bloom where you're planted, and it hit me. I hope it did her as well. I couldn't stop thinking about this concept. Now, hearing it out of context, you could think it means just be happy with who you are and where you are and don't strive for better. However, that isn't where my mind went. I would have pruned those roots right out because I'm all about goal setting, action planning, and personal growth. What I heard is you have an opportunity today and every day. If you put off personal development until you reach your destination, then you've missed some of the ripest opportunity for growth. Today, you may not be able to change your logistical circumstance, but you can change your mindset and find a new way to grow in ways you hadn't even thought of. When things are going perfectly, you don't have to be as creative, patient, or resilient. It's when you hit a challenging time that it forces you to modify your approach and look for positive alternatives. Manfred F.R. Ketsteve-Rise helps us understand and deal with disappointment in an article he wrote for Harvard Business Review. Many people successfully work through their disappointments. Somehow, they have the strength to take stock of what has happened to them, learn from the incident, and move on. They come out of such disappointments stronger, but others struggle. In these cases, disappointment can even become depression. How can we learn to manage our disappointments effectively? Someone once said, expectation is the root of all heartache. The quote recognizes that we experience disappointment. Our hopes and expectations are out of line with reality. We all feel this way from time to time. Some of these disappointments will not make much of a difference, but there are also disappointments that can change the course of our lives. given the convoluted nature of desire, there are no experiences that are entirely free of disappointment. This is what makes disappointment such a complex and confusing feeling. Many of our desires that we pursue are unconscious, sublimated, and frequently contradictory. We may even become disappointed when we get what we want. For example, in Sigmund Freud's 1916 essay, Some Character Types, Met with a Psychoanalytic Work, he explored the paradox of people who were wrecked by success. Unconsciously, these people believed that their success was unjustified, so achieving it didn't feel satisfying to them at all. In other cases, even when we do get what we want and think we deserve it, we may discover that what we wanted so badly doesn't bring the expected bliss and happiness. The way we handle disappointment is related to our development history, our relationship with our parents, and other early formative experiences. Some people seek to avoid disappointment by turning into underachievers. They unconsciously set the bar low and avoid taking risk to prevent themselves from being disappointed. Without realizing it, they've decided that the best strategy is not to have high expectations about anything. Such behavior turns into a form of self-preservation. It also leads to a mediocre and unfulfilled life. These people often turn into disappointments for everyone, including themselves. Others follow a very different trajectory. Seek to avoid disappointment by becoming overachievers. Although they tell themselves that their expectations of perfection are appropriate and realistic, these presumptions turn out not to be true at all. The bar is set far too high to ever make whatever they want to achieve attainable. They forget that perfectionism rarely begets perfection or satisfaction. Instead, it too often leads to disappointment. Of course, there are those people with a more balanced developmental history. These people usually had parents who didn't try to be perfect and didn't expect their children to be perfect either. By being good enough parents, they created a secure base for their children. These children feel secure in their relationships, supported rather than controlled, and are able to play, explore, and learn, thereby acquiring the inner strength to cope constructively with the inevitable setbacks that will come their way along their journey of life. While it's helpful to know which we may lean, our developmental history is not our destiny. Whatever our developmental history may be, having a secure base or not, disappointment can provide us with valuable information about our beliefs, about ourselves, other people, and what makes us happy. Major disappointments are often defining moments in people's lives. Constructively dealing with disappointment can be a self-curative process that can contribute to personal growth and make for greater resilience. Take Winston Churchill, for example. Early in his career, the disastrous First World War military campaign at Gallipoli forced him to resign from his position as First Lord of the Admiralty. Churchill had come up with a plan, later called Churchill's Follies, to send a fleet through the Dardanelles Strait and capture Constantinople, present-day Istanbul, which he predicted would cause the Ottoman Turkey to quit the war. But the plan utterly failed and tens of thousands died. Churchill was disgraced and demoted. To cope with this calamity and humiliation, he refocused his attention and energy away from politics. 6 months after his demotion, he became an infantry officer and joined the fight in France. During this time, out of the political spotlight, he thought through what had happened to him and what it had taught him about dealing with life's challenges. While at first he felt overwhelmed by what he called his black dog depression, he realized that it was much more constructive to reframe his disappointments as learning experiences in order to be able to cope better in the future and to use disappointment as a catalyst for personal growth. This type of soul searching provided him with new information about himself, the world, and others. Far too many people, when faced with disappointment, tend to attribute negative life events to their personal failings. They resort to obsessional self-blaming as they feel ashamed or humiliated for not measuring up to the image of their ideal self. As a result, they direct their anger inward to themselves. It may promote them to say that they deserved it, that they were not good enough. Others will turn their anger outward towards others, to people who didn't fulfill their expectations. It will contribute to feelings of spite, vindictiveness, and bitterness. Unfortunately, both emotional reactions keep the person stuck in a web of disappointment. In many instances, disappointment can turn into a lingering sadness, a feeling of loss, of being let down, or even betrayed. In particular, this is the case when disappointment has been inflicted by people whom they trusted deeply. How can we overcome it? Unpleasant as disappointment may be, we can always learn something from it. To constructively deal with disappointment, we need to first understand what's happened. Some instances of disappointment are predictable and preventable, but there are others that are unavoidable and beyond our control. To manage disappointment, we need to differentiate between situations that fall within our control and factors that are beyond it. Being able to recognize the difference will help us deal with our frustrations more appropriately. We also need to check whether our expectations are reasonable. Are we having unrealistically high expectations? Are we aiming too high? Or are we setting our goals too low? If you belong to that group of people who set their expectations too high, working constructively through disappointments may help you to modify your expectations. You may learn to move away from perfectionist standards. You may start to accept that good enough is, in fact, good enough. For those who have set the bar too low, what they should stop doing is hanging on to false beliefs about life, like there is no more hope or nothing ever works for me. Avoiding disappointment is not possible in life. Trying to do so is not a very constructive way of dealing with life's challenges. When disappointment occurs regularly, it may be advisable to reevaluate your perceptions and behaviors. You can examine whether you're inviting disappointment. Could you have been clearer in your communication of what you were expecting from others? Do you really know what to expect from yourself? Are you listening to what others are saying to you? Could you have done something different to arrive at a different outcome? Also, given what you know about yourself, how can you adjust your expectation to be more effective the next time? And what support and resources do you have at your disposal to help you move through your feelings of disappointment successfully? To deal with disappointment constructively, don't let it deteriorate into apathy and depression. Sustained negative rumination is not a prescription for change. When we become preoccupied by bad news, we lose sight of what's right in front of us. We only internalize feelings of sadness and anger. Hanging on to these feelings can result in unconsciously making them part of our identity. When we catch ourselves thinking negatively, we should redirect our energy and focus on positive solutions. Although, from an unconscious perspective, we may be reluctant to let go of disappointing experiences. When we become too preoccupied with thinking about situations that have not met our expectations, we only create unnecessary stress. You know, disappointment is not meant to destroy us. If taken in stride, it can strengthen us and make us better. In spite of its devastating emotional impact, we may even consider encounters with disappointments as journeys toward greater insight and wisdom. But to enable to make these journeys of self-reflection and revelation meaningful, we need to look beneath the surface, dig a little bit deeper. Only by working through painful associations will we be free of them. In spite of whatever disappointing experiences come our way, our challenge will be to not let bitterness take root. We would do well to keep in mind that although disappointment is inevitable, being discouraged is also a choice. We can't avoid disappointment, so we have to find ways to walk through it, understand it, and learn. Now, I've heard it before. I don't have any expectations, which sounds good and super healthy, but doesn't it sound unrealistic? What happens when your expectations are for other people? Talk about disappointing. That was one of those ideas that didn't immediately take root for me. You can't change other people. I guess when I first heard it, being a headstrong teenager, I took it as a challenge. Oh, yes, I can. I can change other people. It was a heartbreaking, overwhelmingly frustrating challenge. When I finally realized I was a big enough challenge for myself, I started working on my own expectations and disappointment. Setting long-term goals is important because it gives your growth focus, and by following a guide or an action plan, it gives it structure. But to avoid bitter disappointment that could railroad your attempt, you have to be flexible. Every day is a new day with its own opportunities yet to be seen. If you put the blinders on, rejecting anything and everything that doesn't seem in alignment with your goal, then you've missed some golden moments. What's your plan B, or C, or even D? An all or nothing attitude means you only have one shot, and that may not be enough. Want to know even more about handling disappointments? Me too. I found this article that breaks it down a bit. Expectations are premeditated disappointments. 5 ways to maintain a flexible mindset in an uncertain world. Don't we need that? You know, the human mind is unique and can do things that no other animal can do. It can construct futures and reconstruct the past. This ability to construct expectations of the future, along with the drive to enact them, has been the secret of our success as a species. It is also the cause of much of our distress. We can react to these imagined futures or the loss of them as if they are happening for real right now. In a world that is increasingly uncertain and volatile, and is driven by factors outside of our control, we can find ourselves stuck on a roller coaster of emotions as we react to each of the futures our minds construct. For some of us, this might begin to lead to a sense of overwhelm, exhaustion, grief, and despair. Oftentimes, to paraphrase prominent 20th century psychologist Albert Ellis, our expectations are premeditated disappointments. Our mind can see a future disappointment and pushes us to seek greater control to avert it. This push typically takes the form of anxiety, discomfort associated with anticipating shame, disappointment, loss, or other threats. Sometimes our minds are so focused on the future, we can become distracted from the present, including the things and people that are important to us right now. In the face of uncertainty and lack of control, noticing when our expectations are getting in the way can be a helpful skill. Here are some thoughts on how you might do that. Number one, put your thoughts and feelings somewhere where you can look at them. For many people, the easiest way to do this is to write them down. It can take other forms, though, like drawing a picture, writing a song if you're so inclined, or any other form of external expression. The act of writing your thoughts down allows your mind to acknowledge the feelings and concerns in those thoughts and potentially hold them a little higher and lighter. Importantly, by giving your thoughts and feelings a form and some edges, you may find that they aren't as scary as you once thought they were. Be aware, though, as you first sit down to do this, there may be an initial spike of anxiety as your attention settles on your scary expectations. This typically passes, though, once you stick to the task. Maybe set a timer for 5 minutes and track your discomfort as you write and just see what happens. Number two, notice your time-traveling mind. Your mind's ability to travel in time is amazing. It's also inevitable. Your mind is essentially a prediction engine. Trying to stop it from projecting into the future is impossible. If we buy into those predictions as facts, we can experience a great deal of distress. Noticing where your mind is going while being aware that you aren't there yet can mitigate the emotional impact of predictions and expectations. One way to do this is to draw a line on a piece of paper in front of you and put anchors at distant past, recent past, present moment, near future, and distant future. When you notice your mind time traveling, put a mark on your timeline reflecting where it went. No need to be too precise, and don't chastise yourself for letting it wander. Your mind is built to do that. Then, once you've tagged it, you might bring your awareness back to the present moment. Or let your mind keep wandering and track where it goes in the timeline, putting marks on the line as you go. You may find yourself surprised as how your mind travels. The aim of this is not to stop your mind from wandering, but to remind yourself that your thoughts are constructions of your mind rather than reality. You may find that the more you do this, the better you get at noticing when you're reacting to thoughts like they're reality. Number three, intentionally take varied perspectives. When it generates a scary expectation, your mind will tighten its grip on the expectation and that perspective. The thought will feel sticky and intrusive. This is a survival strategy. Your mind is driving you to act to avoid that future. However, when we are uncertain about our ability to control the future, we can feel stuck and helpless. We can then become preoccupied with worry and rumination. The antidote to this rigidity of perspective is to intentionally take multiple perspectives on the same situation. There are many ways to do this. You might shift yourself in time. How will I look back on this situation in my retirement, for example? Or what would my 5-year-old self have seen as important in this situation? You might shift along the optimism spectrum from what is the worst case scenario to what does the best case scenario look like? You might look at it through the eyes of those around you, workmates, friends, community members. The capacity to shift perspective on a stressful situation predicts a number of long-term well-being outcomes. The more perspectives you're able to take, the more you realize no single perspective reflects all of reality. and this reduces your emotional reaction. Number 4, establish a present moment anchor. Training a verbal or behavioral prompt to bring your awareness back to the present moment can be useful. With practice, you can train your mind to step out of prediction and expectation mode and bring your awareness to what is right in front of you. Lord Rabbi Sacks suggests when you feel fear or anxiety, we ask ourselves, what does this moment ask me? The U.S. Navy SEALs in moments of high stress remind themselves to work the problem. The specific phrase or action is less important than that it makes sense to you. It might be the act of a slow, deep breath or counting to 5 in your head. Either way, have a cue that signals letting go of expectation, good or bad, and coming back to the moment so you can focus on something you can control in the here and now. Number 5. Label expectations as what they are, hopes and worries. Notice how the thought, I had expected to be able to hug my friends on Thursday, feels different from, I had hoped to be able to hug my friends on Thursday. One brings frustration and anger, and the other brings a tone of self-compassion. Expectations feel rigid and punitive. Hopes link to our values and imply uncertainty. Try labeling your worries. When you notice yourself reacting to a scary future, try adding the phrase, I notice the worry that, to the front of your prediction and see how this changes your reaction to it. For example, I'm going to lose my job becomes, I notice the worry that I'm going to lose my job. This small act can have a noticeable effect on your emotional response. The human mind is a prediction engine that is predisposed to orient and fixate on scary or negative expectations. In times of volatility and uncertainty, this can lead to a sense of helplessness and overwhelm. Practicing the skill of noticing when your mind is doing this and intentionally responding differently can enable you to be both happier and more effective in the face of uncertainty. See, you've always had the power, even when you felt completely helpless. I love a change in perspective. It opens up a whole new world of possibilities. So just like my revelation of bloom where you're planted, I find new ways of seeing the same thing when I listen to others. Not just hear what they have to say, but really listen. Being open and flexible enough to adopt a new way of thinking. Just maybe you haven't heard everything and you don't have all the right answers. Being here right now, instead of there, wherever your expectation had you before you even arrived, gives you a new perspective. What are you going to do with it? Wallow and wait, holding on so tightly to what you thought it was supposed to be like? Or give in, open your heart and your mind to new possibilities. You're only stuck if you choose to be. Mallory Joy gives us 5 ways to bloom where we're planted in her article for Medium. You can get beauty from ashes. They say that pressure and stress create beautiful things. Diamonds withstand incredible pressure during their creation. The clam deals with the annoying piece of sand during the creation of a pearl. The caterpillar deals with the stress and pressure of creating and being wrapped in a cocoon and having to break free, finding freedom in a new form. There are some types of plants and flowers that only bloom and grow after being burnt in a fire. Consider the incredibly rare Baker's Globe Mallow, a flower that only blooms following the destruction of a forest. After a fire ravages an area of trees, these cup-shaped pink-purple flowers quickly appear across the ravaged landscape, bringing beauty from ashes. The flower requires high heat to break the outer shell of its seeds, which is why they only appear following a wildfire. Destruction and change come hand in hand. But how often do we really want that destruction and change to come when we know it means pain, intense pressure, or stress? We shy away, knowing that if we lean into that shifting, into that shaking, into that pain, we will not come out unscathed. We will be changed. And while it's not pleasant, it is so important for our own growth. Like the flower that blooms after a forest fire, everything must die so that it may live and bloom, bringing beauty from ashes. We are often faced with difficult challenges. We retreat within ourselves for weeks, months, and sometimes even years. The outer shell refuses to open. What if we bloomed where we're planted, regardless of what was happening around us? Maya Angelou was an African-American civil rights activist and writer. She lived a life filled with challenge, pressure, and heat. However, it truly can be said of her that she bloomed where she was planted. Long before she became a writer, her life experiences were diverse, working a number of jobs before the age of 40. Things like cook, waitress, sex worker, dancer, actor, playwright, editor, and an English language newspaper in Egypt, calypso singer, and cast member of the opera Porgy and Bess. Her early years were also filled with difficulty. In her very first major work, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, she wrote about her experience with sexual trauma and how her mother's boyfriend raped her when she was a child. She didn't shy away from showing the world her scars and her pain. While she could have let these traumatic experiences define her, she didn't. Rather, she harnessed them and used them for her benefit. Angelou amassed over 30 books and more than 50 honorary degrees in her lifetime. So, here are 5 ways to bloom where you're planted. Number 1, embrace change. Sometimes life gets really tough. If you're in the midst of a difficult time, realize that it's only for a season. Time marches on. What is now probably will not be later. Situations change. Opportunities arise. Consider all the ways that this current challenge may be making you a better person, focusing on the positives instead of the negatives. Maya Angelou said, "You can tell a lot about a person by the way they handle these 3 things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights." Number 2, stop complaining. Closely tied to the first way to bloom where you're planted is the idea of shirking your tendency to complain. Complaining is the first defense mechanism we have when things don't go our way. We want to blame someone for fear that if we don't, we might realize the blame is on us. When we do this, it only makes the situation harder. Find ways to laugh, even in moments of tension. Our attitudes are what make things easier. Control what you can control, but for the rest, let it go. If we can try to maintain a positive attitude about things that are really outside of our control, the situation will be a lot more manageable. Maya Angelou said, "If you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude." Number 3, focus on others. In times of challenge, it's easy to turn inward. It's easy to bury ourselves inside our shell. That really isn't the moment to do it. This is when it's imperative that we turn outward. Focus on your family. Focus on the people around you. Doing that will help keep your perspective in check. It will help remind you that there is more to life than the challenges you are facing. Those gentle reminders will help encourage you forward instead of being frozen in time. Maya Angelou said, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." Number 4, Celebrate the small things. When things are difficult, it's easy to succumb to feelings of frustration or anger. It's easy to point fingers and blame the situation for what we're dealing with. It's easy to lose sight of everything else that's happening in our lives. Don't get lost. Make sure you take the time to celebrate things that happen to you and to your family. Maya Angelou said, "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style." Number 5, visualize the future. Part of life is moving forward. When we're challenged in certain situations, we have a tendency to get stuck. One way that we can get out of the ruts we build for ourselves is by visualizing the future. In order to get out of debt, we need to make a budget. In order to find a new job, we need to update our resume. In order to grieve the loss of a parent, we need to give ourselves the time and space to mourn instead of putting our heads down and just pretending not to feel. By keeping one eye where you want to go and one eye where you are, you keep the end goal in mind, and you will continue to move forward. Maya Angelou said, "You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them." Thank you for your support of Encouragementology. This is the 100th episode of Encouragementology, Positive Alternatives to Life's Little Challenges. I appreciate you. You make it so much fun every week just to come to you with new ideas. Your feedback, positivity, encouragement is just so needed and so wonderful. So I want to thank you. Don't forget to embrace the difficulty, knowing that these experiences make you who you are. There will be beauty from ashes, but it's just the challenge in the moment to keep that end goal in mind. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com. or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, take a moment and notice where you are. Be thankful for the gift of awareness and the power to make the most of every moment. Have patience as you dig in and bloom where you're planted. Seize the day and shine. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear.